Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
Thank you. Incredible, incredible privilege to be here. Heard so much about this church and stories and friends been through this church. Just to say, Wally, I actually also have a dance ministry. It's not out in the public yet, but it might come. I'm trusting the Lord for more. And I have faith, but incredible honor and privilege. Thank you to Wally and Shules, Malcolm and Michelle. Where are you guys? And oh, there we go. So I'm looking straight at you. And Gabe. Just incredible privilege to be here. Heard incredible stories of your faith, stories of incredibly gracious people, impactful people, people with a heart to see this world changed. So it's a real, real privilege to be here. You mentioned that name, Rory Dyer. One of the reasons I love this church is because you probably don't know how many ways you've honored that man and his wife, Mel, through this couple and the eldership, and he loves it here. He raves of you. He's told me for weeks now how amazing this church is, how he loves coming here. Like Jesus had his Bethany, and sometimes pastors love going some places more than others. Don't tell anyone I said that. And but he raves of you guys, and just the way you've loved them, you've cared for them. They've had transition, they've had big years, but you've always been there. And Wally and Shules, just to honor you as well for your love for them, your consistency, and we love those guys. And just to say, I love this church for a number of reasons. One is I have a very special friend, Carl Glazer, my mate from school. He's my mate. We won't walk on now, but maybe later in the back. But many reasons I love this church. One of them is I love a man named Brad Clownsmith, who wears really small jeans and really tight shirts. But God has been incredibly gracious that He would give him a beautiful gift from this church. And her name is Carla, and I get the privilege of working with Carla at Glenridge. And it's a real, you've given an amazing gift there to Durban, the city of Durban, to Glenridge, and to a man that I love named Bradley Clownsmith. So thank you so much. And the last reason, and probably not, they're not an exhaustive list, but you received an amazing man. Gee, this oak, this redhead thing, yeah. Just he's a guy who creeps under your heart. Whether you want him to or not, he's going to get him there. And a number of years ago, we struggled to fall pregnant for a while, and we went on a student camp with a bunch of students, and there was this redhead and his mate with dreadlocks. And they were the ones you watch out for when you go on a student camp. You're like, you pick those guys. As you walk to the camp, you don't know them. You think, those are the guys I've got to watch. I just know it. I've got that feeling. And we had amazing times of worship. And in the middle of an amazing time of worship, about 4 hours of ministry, Gabe walked up to me and said, can I pray for your wife? Now, this is a student camp. We were the only married couple. I said, why? Everyone's praying. Why are you asking me? He said, no, can I pray for her womb? And quite a thing, you know, when you've been wrestling something for a while. We'd prayed for people and seen them fall pregnant. And we were struggling. And it wasn't forever, but it was long enough to get a little bit sore inside. No one knew. The elders knew, Gabe wouldn't have known. And he began to say, the stone's been rolled away. Didn't mean to get so emotional. It's Rory Dyer's fault. Shakers, what's happening here? This is a mess. Put it together, buddy. And Gabe had began to pray to roll away the stone. The stone's been rolled away. It was just a profound moment. And we must have fallen pregnant within a week of that day. I don't know. I'm not going to say exactly where or when. But God used a man I probably wouldn't have expected to when I walked into that camp and met him. But some courage He put in God's man. See, God can do many things on His own, but He wants to use us. He wants our voice. He wants our declaration. He wants life to be released out of our lives. He's never had children, but He released life for a child to fly. I believe that. God is sovereign, and I know all these things. But He chooses vessels, and He uses broken, empty vessels. He used this man to release life We've got a boy, Judah. I know there's a little Judah running around here. And he's just full of life. He brings life and ministers wherever he goes. We'd love to bring him down one day. You'll meet him. He's got wild hair. And but just, we love this man. And you've received him with incredible arms. And 2.5 years ago, he left Durban. A young man. Looking for prospects. Looking for life to take over. He comes back and visits. And it's like, people are here and Gabe's here. You've given him space to fly, to grow, to thrive, to blossom, to make mistakes. But you've done that in this community. I thank you for that. There is a follow-up part to that story. Because it had taken a little while to fall pregnant, we didn't really want to tell people too soon that we were pregnant. But after about 8 weeks, I couldn't keep it, and I had to phone someone. So I phoned the guy who prayed for my wife because I thought it would be a little encouraging for him. And he was at lunch with 7 or 8 people at a big round table. So I said, Gabe, and I'm a little bit shaky. I haven't told anyone. We've just told my parents. I said, Gabe, we're pregnant. He says, hold on, Mark. He puts the phone on the table. He stands up at the table and goes, I made Candace van Pletsen pregnant. So, yeah. I'm on the other end going, I haven't told anyone. Then that story is a little confusing in itself. Just a tad. But I mean, God has His ways. And I'm excited, and I'm, for this morning, I want to call you into more of God. I am, as a young preacher, as a young man, working out what that muscle is. But I get excited when I see men step into more. I get excited when I see women step into more. That rocks my world. When I see churches step into more. More of the promise of God. More of the goodness of God. More of His presence. More of the knowledge of God. I love calling men and women. I love seeing young girls step up and pray for businessmen and life is released because they realize there's more in God and the limitations the world puts on them aren't the limitations of heaven over them. It rocks my world. And I want to call more out of you this morning. Incredible privilege of hearing a testimony of a man that I've walked with for 3.5 years. 3.5 years ago, on a Monday night, he'd walk into a Methodist church where they were having an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And he'd walk in and say, my name is Clinton Banfield and I'm an alcoholic. I'm 25 years old and I've done everything. Tuesday night, he'd walk into an NA meeting, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. He'd say, my name is Clinton Banfield and I am a drug addict. Today he stands as a husband, as the owner of a business, as an amazing young man, as a leader in our community. He says, I'm Clinton Banfield, I'm a son of God. And he is soaring. And I sat there in the front, I thought, God, you are good. You are good. You aren't schizophrenic in your goodness, you are good every day, in every hour, in every way, in every life, to every age group. He's just that good. And I want to call you to more this morning. Because I believe God, just in the worship, just want to share where I felt like it's not a time for consolidation. Many are consolidating. Economies are under pressure. Lives are under pressure. So men consolidate. They take away the risky elements out of their investment portfolios and they consolidate into safe risk, low risk investments. Life Changes Church, I want to tell you, it's not a time to consolidate. See heaven's economy with a currency of faith. And risk in Him. Personally, in your families, in your marriages, and in this city. Risk in Jesus. Risk in Jesus. Psalm 27 says, we will know the goodness of our God in the land of the living. Don't wait for heaven one day to know the goodness of God. Don't wait for heaven one day. It's too late. It's too late. The church has often settled, even as we were talking in worship, church has settled for a visitation. Of the presence of God, the visitation of the Holy Spirit. So we bring a gift in. We bring a Julian Adams, one of these amazing men of God that God has raised up, and they come in and they blow our minds, and the next week, it's back to normal. Too much. The promise of the Word is a habitation of His presence. Every time we come together, whether coffee shops in this city, whether your boardrooms, whether your lounges with your family, that God is with us. That we don't have to wait for Him all the time. Yes, we wait for Him, we push and we understand those things. There's greater degrees of His presence, but we are always in His presence. He's not a schizophrenic God. The challenge with some examples that have been used, good examples, helpful examples of doves on shoulders as we move, the dove flies away. The challenge is, I am sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I am sealed. You can't take that seal away from me. When I am branded on my chest, you can't take that off easily. I'm sealed. And you are sealed with His love and His presence in your life. And so we push in to more of Him. I'd love to read a scripture now, but can I pray for you first? Can I pray for us? Just feel like, Father, You are here. Thank You for this house. A people of influence, God. It's a statement to the city, to the nations, to the enemy, to the heavenly realms. It's a statement. Statement of guts and courage. The people of God. Sons and daughters knowing who they are in You, God. And I pray this morning, God, You would call them to more. You would do it. You would call them to more. In their personal lives, more. In their businesses, more. In knowing You. In the intimacy of Your presence, more, God. Call us to more this morning, we pray, God. Can we turn to Ephesians 2, verse 11? Thank you. We have been through a series in Ephesians. Been wrestling what to preach, even this morning wrestling. And I really feel this word is a call to more for this church, because God has made. You don't call yourself a people of influence without knowing who you are. Otherwise, you're confused. You don't call yourself a people of influence without believing that God has called you to more. So I want to fuel that fire. I want to fan that flame this morning. Ephesians 2 verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He Himself is our peace. He has made. I've just pulled the stand apart while reading to you. Sorry. Care, I'll be back with you now. Trying to come up. Here we go. I'm calling more out of you. There we go. Okay. Back to the word. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one man, one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile God, reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. God is positioning Life Changes. That word on grace this morning. I trust the gridlocks of your mind, the gridlocks of how you see the world. We all view the world, we view life with a grid. The problem is grids get locked. You just need to see a rainstorm in Durban and know that people can't drive in the rain in Durban. And so everyone just gets stuck and they put on their flickers and they just sit and everyone gets backed up. It happens in our minds sometimes. But the revelation of who Jesus is, the revelation of His Word, that revelation is for each and every one of us. It's not for the preacher to bring you his revelation, it's for you. There is revelation for you. Oh, but I've been saved 1 week. Brilliant. And He unlocks the gridlocks of our minds. He unlocks the gridlocks in our lives. And He is calling you, Life Changes Church, as a people of influence, to impact and influence. And He's setting you up with a grid of His kingdom, a grid of His love, and a grid of His life for impact and influence. And you know what? Paul uses this moment, this scripture, as a strong teaching moment. He's talking about many things, but it's a strong teaching moment. It's a gentle teaching moment, but it's a strong teaching moment. He's using it to establish the church, and he's using it to use the lesson that, you know what, guys, if there are any dividing walls, if there is anything that separates you, if there is anything that is holding you back from being the fullness of the son or daughter you were created to be, you're living in something too small. It's just too small. You're putting Jesus in a little box. The problem is, when we put Jesus in a little box, we stay small. When we put Jesus in a little box, the effect and impact of His kingdom in and through our lives is very small. We need to take Jesus out the box. Say, God, You are glorious. Higher than the heavens. You are majestic. And as we see the bigness of God, we get caught up in the bigness of God and we realize who we are. And that confident son or daughter comes out. Life comes out. Healing comes out. It just leaks out. Because we become who we are in Him when we see Him. And He is positioning you that we together, seeking His presence, we together becoming that household of His presence. Can't do this on your own. Gabe would have come to Cape Town, stood up here, and there was no one here. He would have preached his heart out. You know what happened? Not much. But because you are here together, a man has grown. Because you are here together, there are other men and women in this house who are growing and standing up. And we should celebrate and cheer them on and say, thank you, Jesus. Every age group, every type of gifting, the quiet and the loud, thank you, Jesus. Because there's a world to impact. For God so loved the world. Not for God so loved the church. He loved the world. Big God. And so we have this goal, and the goal is that we rise up together. He says in Ephesians 2 verse 21, in Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We rise together. And in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. God is on this amazing building project. And He's coming to our lives and our communities and our relationships. He's bringing the sledgehammer of heaven. He's bashing down the walls, bringing a big open plan space. He says, take that dividing wall, get out of here. Take that separation, get out of here. Peace, come in. And we live in the open plan spaces that God has created. But He's also building us up. He's rising us up. He's not just building space. He's building us up together. Why? He's not just into breaking down walls and keeping 71-story buildings so the church never stands out. Why is He building us up? Because the very nature of the kingdom is that God just doesn't pour His Spirit in to make us feel warm in winter. He doesn't pour His Spirit in to keep us entertained. Every now and again there's a laugh in church. He pours His Spirit in and He inhabits our praises. He inhabits and He rises us up. Because of what Paul's saying, it's too small. Too small. Citizens of heaven, rise up. Bring peace, rise up. Repentance, rise up. Anything else is just too small. Paul is this big vision guy. I'm imagining he's that guy. He's like, this place is getting too small. I've got to go somewhere else and change the world. That's just his hard wiring. And he's calling the church into more. Why are we being built up? Ephesians 3 verse 10 and 11. His intent was that now, not tomorrow, not the next day, not one day when I'm big, one day when I've settled my debt, one day when I've got over my challenges, that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ our Lord. It's already accomplished. It's already done. So now, not the kingdom one day when I get the mark, one day when Wally just says, you the man, take it. No, it's already accomplished in Jesus. Sets the church free. Sets us up for victory. But you have to go and say, well, what structures did God pour His glory into? Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, they're all there. And it says, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. They could all see. He didn't say, Moses and your cronies and and you climb to some over some mountain, go over some mountain range and hide away, and there I'm going to bring my life. He chose the highest place, evident to all that all could see, and he poured his glory down. The ark and the tabernacle. Where was it placed? It was placed in the center of all the tribes. All the tribes strategically placed around. And in the center was the ark. The presence of God placed in the center of his people for all to see. Moses and his tent. Moses would go out to the tent of meeting. And all the people would come out of their tents and they would watch as the glory of God came down. And they would see it. And you go everywhere in our city. You drive from Cape Town to Durban. And every little town you go through has a synagogue, has a steeple. Those steeples rise up and they signify the glory of God, the presence of God has been in this place. He has been worshipped in this place. And the ultimate swan song is the whole earth, Psalm 72, is filled with His glory. God is not into hiding His glory. So He's not into hiding you. He's just not into hiding you. Mark, I'm quiet. I'm quiet. And I'm just a little person. I was laughing with Wally yesterday and telling him I was the second smallest guy in Standard 6 at DHS. The other guy was Sishi. He was like a midget. He's really small. I was the second smallest guy out of 220 guys. It doesn't do a whole lot for your confidence in a boys' school where rugby is everything. And yet God gets inside and puts courage. Because His glory must be made known. Because He wants His glory. Because He is jealous for His glory. And He wants it in and through your life. In your workplace, when you stand up to fraud. When you stand up to illegal happenings. When you stand up for those who can't defend themselves. His glory is seen by this world. And the whole earth is filled with His glory. He's not into hiding His glory. What is man that you are mindful of him? Psalm 8. The Son of Man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You are crowned with glory and honor. We struggle with it. You can even see some of your faces are like trying to work it out. Mark, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Jesus doesn't care. He's paid that price. You are crowned with glory and honor. So the gridlock starts moving a little bit. Just a little bit. God, shake our gridlocks today. Shift in this place, I pray. So that you can shine for your glory, Jesus. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet. That's you and me. We have authority. Adam had authority over the animals. We have authority over the earth. That's us. That's us, the sons and daughters of God. That's a promise of His Word. And we have the incredible privilege of walking with God inside of us, the Spirit of God. God is inside of us, and we cultivate this world, and we get stuck, and we get our hands dirty, like the divine Creator got His hands dirty in this world. And we begin to co-create with Him, and we have ideas that change the world. What was that program you mentioned last night? The clothing recycling thing that's happened. Swap Shop. That's co-creation with God to cultivate our world, to bring Him glory. I think it's amazing. That's how God works. And God is dealing, and He's taking. See, religion keeps the church in a box. It makes it small. He's taking the church out of the box. He's stripping religion off. So grace is a word that comes because it's stripping all that stuff off and saying, church, I want you to shine. This is not a motivational speech. Please, if it is, it'll last 2 days. This is the Word of God. This is revelation that unlocks the gridlocks of our minds, our hearts, and the gates that keep us closed. And He brings life. And God is dealing at many levels. He's renewing minds. He's establishing our sons. He's equipping. He's doing it all this morning in all of us. And why is it? Because of this question. Church, son, daughter, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want of God? Do you want more? Is Sunday coming to church getting your number ones on, getting there 9:10 just so you miss those loud songs that Gabe sings. Maybe 9:15 and then leaving as soon as you can after. Is that the measure? I think Christians have bought in to cell phone type packages of Christianity. So you know you got all the options, and at the bottom you get like the Nokia 101. It's got 3 buttons and you have to do everything with those 3 buttons. At the top, you obviously get the iPhone. That's obviously what's at the top. Obvious. It's very obvious. And between all these packages, I think Christians are bought into cell phone packages. And at the bottom, you've got basement Christianity. I walk the streets of New York in May. And you just look up. You look up and you see all the high rises. You see the Empire State Building. You see the Rock Building. And they rise out high. But you look down and there are houses under the ground. In the midst of the city with the most amazing views, some people live underground. And they funnel air in and they funnel light in. I had a mate in England. He's actually in leadership on a church there. He couldn't get rights to build his house. It was actually on BBC. He couldn't get the rights to build his house because of the view, and somehow he couldn't go up. So what he did, he built it underground. He dug into the ground. We've stayed there. 5-bedroom house with air conditioning, wooden floors. It's beautiful. Unnatural light, unnatural air pulled in through air conditioners to deal with, what's that stuff on the walls? Mildew and all that jazz. It's all artificial, but he's alive. And he got his house. And Christians choose this. They say, I've got my fire insurance. I'm safe from hell. No one's burning my backside and I'm going to get through. And that's enough for me. Is that what you want? Because you know what? That's what you get. That's what you get. We settle for the pack. Oh, the cost seems right to me. What cost, sir? Ma'am, what cost? Raising your hands really a cost? You don't have to raise your hands. Freedom doesn't look like anything. Freedom doesn't look like a stage dive, and it doesn't look like a handstand. Looks like a son or daughter of God. And then there's this next level. It's like, it's just above ground. It's ground level living. And so you walk and you're kind of on the ground floor or just one up. And you've got kind of sort of a view through the neighbor's building, under the trees. You can sort of see the sky. And you put burglar guards everywhere because you're close to the ground. So the enemy's close and the thief is close. So you put all the things in place in your life. And I go to church and I go to home group and I go to prayer meeting and I pay my, and I do this and I pay my bills and I do everything. And all the things are in place. I'm safe. I'm in my house. I don't really have a nice view. I don't really feel like I'm in the fullness of space that salvation is. But I'm okay. The cost seems right. What cost? The price has been paid. It's paid. Everything. It's paid. And we settle and we hold back. Or, I believe there's upper room Christianity. And these are not measures. These are not leadership in church. These are nothing. These are sons and daughters of the living God. Penthouse Christianity. See, the challenge is while you were speaking of revelation, revelation brings the realization that there's got to be more. So you have a little taste of Jesus and you want more. My wife got saved. From joiling it up in Joburg and hitting the rave clubs to Jesus. And I watched her as this girl got saved. And then we went together then. And I watched this girl. She just loved Jesus. She was like a Jesus bunny. You know those people that come to prayer meeting, they're just so happy. And they're like, whoa, I'm happy to be here. I just want to be here at prayer meeting. It was like, really? Sure. Everything, fingers. But as you realize something of Jesus, there's this realization there's got to be more, and then there's got to be more, and we begin to live in glory to glory because we know more of Him. And He calls us up and He says, son, there's more. There's always more. Always more in the kingdom of God. Jesus took His disciples to the basement, huh? Took them to the basement for the last dinner. That's where He chose. Oh no, sorry, the first floor. The lift wasn't working. He went to the first floor. Jesus took his disciples to the upper room. I imagine Rockefeller Building, top floor, best view. Disciples standing there looking out, going, wow. Peter probably doing something stupid like hanging out the window. Look at me, Jesus. Why did he take them there? Because in front of them was the world. Because in front of them was their assignment. And in front of them was their potential. Because Jesus knew that sons and daughters of God were the answer to the world. This world's looking for answers. You and I are the answers, not the preachers. Sons and daughters. Full, full, full of the Spirit of God. Together, rising up. Can I have those pictures quick? Just the first two pictures. This is the view from on the street. Street level living. The world's a bit intimidating. People are walking. It's Times Square. People are just walking. They couldn't care who you are. We try to get directions. No one talks. It's just like, it's pretty intimidating. And you walk the streets and you think, how could I possibly impact here? Little me from Durbs by the sea. No one cares you got warm water in New York. No one cares that you can surf without a wetsuit in North. They don't care. It doesn't change their life. So you walk as a son of God saying, Father, how can I make a difference here? If I were to preach, how many could I touch? They seem so busy. They seem so distracted. They don't see the red robots. They don't see the dangers coming. How can I make a difference, Father? And your heart breaks and he says, Son, come up. Can I have the next photo, please? The same city. But from God's perspective. From a perspective of a son full of his presence. And you look down, and in that bottom little corner there is Times Square, and you think, God, with you, we can take this world. He calls us up and says, come into my presence, stay in that place. And we can see our potential, but we can also see our assignment. So many Christians see their assignment, but don't see their potential. We've got to see our potential. So we call them out. And you know when you have a daughter or a son, you see their lives and you can just see potential. My mate is 33 years old, Richard Mungavin. He literally thinks he can do anything. It's quite funny. People struggle with it sometimes. But he believes he can do everything. He was that kid whose dad said, you can do it. And he believed, yes, I can. He's just that guy. I love it. It's not arrogance. It's a secure identity and a little bit delusional at times, but what the? Who cares? It's amazing. And I saw this concept. We've got to step into this living. We've got to step in. So how do we step in? Well, we step in through faith, yes. Which means we get over our circumstances. When Jesus called Peter onto the water, did he change his circumstances? Did he suddenly build a bridge? Did he turn it into concrete? No. Peter walked on water. So you can walk on your bad salaries. You can walk through life with bosses that don't change. And you keep praying, take my boss away. You can walk through challenges with children. You can walk through that stuff and you stop praying your little prayers. And you see Jesus and say, Jesus, I can walk on the water. That's faith. Faith isn't, God, I believe you can triple my salary by the end of the year. Really, son? I mean, I can. I'm not sure it'd be good for you. And we have to have a desire and an expectation for more. When you came to church this morning, were you more excited about the coffee? Meeting Jesus, seeing Jesus. That's easy for me. I don't like coffee. But for some of you, that's tough. I can see the pain right now. It's like, coffee. He just said coffee. I didn't get my coffee this morning. Already you're shaking a little bit. But I had this little moment in Chicago. Maybe if you can pop up the next picture, please. My wife and I, we had the incredible privilege of going across there. And we're on this architectural tour on the boat. There's all these waterways through Chicago. It's called an architectural tour. It's the most amazing city. And this guy kept saying, and this building was built on Erats. And this building was built on Erats. And I'm like, excuse me, Durban, small Erats? You don't know. Now, Erats is that building is built above an existing train station. Can I have the next one, please? That was the biggest station in the world. There was no building above it. There was just a station with value, but it took up space. And as the city got more congested, the value of land began to rise. And as buildings began to rise up, views became valuable. And so people got an idea. One man had an idea. Probably an audacious idea. Probably viewed as an arrogant idea. A little bit risky. He said, why don't we sell the space? Sorry? No, let's sell the space. Air right is a legal term. It's a legal term. And it means whoever's is the earth. His is up to the heavens and to hell below. That's the literal translation of the legal term. Remember, sons with authority and power. Era. That we stand with access above us, above our lives. And God says, come up, son, come up, son. This church in Manhattan, this was the story that got me going. A church in Manhattan had this little church property for years, and the buildings around them rose up. And people began to approach him for air rights. They sold, they accessed their air rights for $13 million, and no one's ever going to build above them. They bought the view. A hotel behind them bought the view. There is value above our lives. There is value in the spiritual realms above our lives. But we have to see it. We have to be a little bit cocky in God. We have to be a little bit cocky as the sons who actually believed their dads. When their dad said, you can do it. And we say, Father, I see it. Sons, there's two things we've got to understand. And I'm going to close with this. The value of our air rights is determined by the value of the properties around us. So we stand in community. And I stand between Wally. And because Wally is massive. Because he knows his God. And he stands tall in the kingdom. And the heavens shake when Wally starts to pray at 4 a.m. for Life Changes Church. And I stand between Tyler. And he's rising up and stepping into more and more of God. Taking hold on more and more of God. As I stand between these men, the value of the air above me, the power and the potential of myself is raised up as the faith of these men build into my life, and it builds me up, and I begin to see the Father's view, and I begin to say there is value to my life. You might be on ground level, underground level, but there is value above you, because the only one above you is Jesus. The only one. We're either going to access the soil or we're going to access the space above us. So we stand with men and we pray together. We don't wait for the prayer meeting. We get to, hey, Gabe, can we hook up? Can we pray? Can we just pray? And I phone Malcolm and say, Malcolm, you know what? Can I come into your business? I got phoned by a businessman. A big businessman. He phoned me and said, Mark, God's done something. Can you come and pray with me in my boardroom? And we prayed in the boardroom and I said, Dad, we got to go to the roof. And he owns this, he runs this building. We went to the roof and we prayed on the roof together and we declared the purposes of heaven over that business. Because we are sons. Because it's that real. Because we dared to believe and we dared to ask. And I don't know the end story of that man's business, but I know the promises of God. But the word is Life Changes Church. The word to me, the word to you, is it's time to access the eros. It's not enough just to know. It's not enough to have all the theology, and you've got Ephesians down, and Ephesians says, brrr, but we don't actually then live it out. We don't actually access. Say, I want. Actually, you know what? You've been offering me for years. I want $30 million for the space above this little church, and you're not even going to build anything over. Just pop it in the bank account. It's not enough just to know. It's the call of a disciple. Sitting in America, sat with a Lani church leader, big church, just met the guy. We started to engage around some theological issues, and we started to engage around church. We had a few disagreements, and he said a question, what is a disciple? Like a challenge, what is a disciple? I thought, flip, got to think now. Well, a disciple is someone who's been to the upper room with Jesus. They know that place. They've seen their potential from that place, not from this place. A disciple is one is when their kid gets sick, they don't phone the doctor. They lay their hands on their child and they declare healing. And they put their faith in Jesus. A disciple is when their business is cash strapped and it's looking like it's going to hit the wall. They don't run off to the banks and the business consultants. They run off to the upper room with Jesus, with their mates, and they say, Jesus, I access the resources of heaven today. What's arrogance, Mark? We've got to suffer. I'm not against suffering. I'm against Christians staying too small. Staying in the box. Because you know when you're in the box, you've kept Jesus in the box. My Jesus isn't in a box. My Jesus isn't on a cross. My Jesus is seated on the throne. That scripture gave it. It's not arrogance, it's confidence. One last story, and then I'd love to maybe ask the band to come up, if that's all right, buddy. Just got a little mate. His name's Ryan Way. He's the son of a friend of mine. He's 12 years old. He plays second team at Durban Prep School, and he loves it. And he got one or two games for the first team. Because he played one or two games for the first team, he got invited to the Durban North Trials. Regional Trials. You know what he did? He said, flip, I deserve to be here. So he went to the trials and he just smashed everyone. He ended up captain of the Durban North, the North Durban team. He played seconds. He ends up going to the Natal trials. He's in the final selection for Natal. Because he didn't come under the word of coaches at his school. Because he came under the promises and dared to believe that God had something more for him. And he was super bummed when he didn't make the Natal A team. And you know what happened? He went back to prep to the second side. But this kid walks around like this. It's like, yeah, it's me. Because a son dared to believe. What happens when sons and daughters dare to believe? Jake Hamilton says, sings, wake up child, it's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this. You were born. Can I ask church, stop dreaming today instead of living today? Jesus died that you can live today, full of power, full of life, in Cape Town, in a city with challenges and beauty, and you can see the challenges in the city. We know that. There's challenges everywhere. It's not hard to see the challenges. It's even easier to access the goodness of God for our city, to bring change. Maybe you can just strum a bit. Is that good? Can you stand with me? I'd love to. Just if you can just. What's your word? Do you want it? Just going to ask Candace to share a word. Can I ask you, just close your eyes and just. If you need to, sometimes you just got to activate that word. Sometimes you just got to say, Father, some of you just need to get in the aisle. Come to the front. You just need to move. Bill Johnson says he knows. He'll see a healing when he can get people to move up their chairs. Some of you just need to move a little bit. Just take a hold of him today. I'm going to ask Candace just to share. She had a word for you guys. And then I'd love to pray. But take a hold of him now. Let's not do church.
I was just praying for you guys. And I just felt God drop three little statements for you guys. And the first one, I felt him say, refreshing and rest. And then from that place, I felt him say, freedom and fire. And from that place, creativity and color. And I just asked God, what does that mean, Lord, for life changes? What do you mean? And I felt him say, for refreshing and rest, I felt him just say to you guys, come away with me and rest in me, and I'll bring refreshing.
Yeah.
And I felt him say, I want to pour my anointing oil over you so that you're in a place of overflow. Not being a quarter full, a half full, or even full, but overflow. And that he is more than enough for you.
Yeah.
And then from that place of refreshing and rest, there's freedom and fire. And I just felt God say he's going to bring fresh baptisms of fire.
Yeah.
And in that place, he'll burn away all that is not of him, and he'll bring you into an even better place and a more of a place of freedom. I really felt more freedom. And I just felt him say, because I'm a consuming fire. I'm a consuming fire. And from that place is color and creativity. And I know that you are a creative church.
Yeah.
But I just felt there's even more creativity
yeah.
and color.
Yeah.
And yeah, that there's just going to be a flow of creativity in your church and out of the church walls, not just in terms of painting and drawing and the arts, but just creativity in business, yeah. creativity in all sorts of ministries, evangelism, creativity in your parenting and all sorts of strategies. So, Father, I just pray that, Lord, yeah. into being over yeah. each and every single yeah. one who calls this
yes,
place
God.
Home, Lord.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Father.
Just
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.